All right. So today we are going to talk about how to become a best-selling author, get on best-selling lists, New York Times, USA Today. The person who we have to speak to us to lead our discussion is Victorine, and I am sorry, I'm not actually sure how to pronounce your last name. Is it Lee?
It's a hard one. It's Liskey.
Liskey. Sorry about that. I should have asked that before. Thank you. She is a great one to speak about this because she is a best-selling author on the New York Times, and I believe she has best-selling e-books. And so I love that because it is, you know, this e-books are becoming really big, so I think this is a good area to talk about as well. So I'm going to let Victorine spend a couple more minutes just introducing herself, and then we can get to the discussion.
Great. Well, thank you so much, first of all, for inviting me here. I'm really excited to talk to you guys about this and just kind of share my story. I'll just start out by telling a little bit about myself. I self-published my first book. It was a fiction novel in 2010, and it hit the New York Times bestseller list in the spring of 2011. So it was about a year later that it hit the New York Times bestseller list and the USA Today list as well. And then I've had one other book hit the USA Today bestseller list. That was January of 2015. And so it was really exciting to have that happen to me. With the first book, I think what happened was it organically rose in the ranks. I lowered the price to 99 cents. It was probably fall of 2010, and it took about 7 months to climb up the ranks, and then it hit the bestseller lists. I think the main thing for that book was it was being pushed by Amazon itself. And the reason I found that out was because it was selling pretty well when I slashed the price to 99 cents. I started selling about 40 books a day on Amazon. And it was on all the channels. It was on Barnes & Noble and iTunes and everything else. But Amazon is really the big seller that pushed it up the ranks. And as I looked at all the things I was doing, I had a blog and I had you know, the YouTube videos for the book and everything that I was doing to promote it, I couldn't find anywhere that was getting enough hits to justify the 40 to 50 sales a day that it was getting. And I got a couple of emails from people saying, hey, Amazon recommended your book to me, and I read it and really loved it. And that's when I went, aha, Amazon's doing this, and I'm not really doing this myself. And so I started digging around trying to figure out, okay, how do I get Amazon to promote my book? And what I found, and this is kind of a lot of supposition because Amazon doesn't release a ton of information about how their inner workings happen. And so by a lot of talking with other authors, I figured out that Amazon keeps really good track of how many clicks a book gets and from those, how many people go on to buy the book. So, you know, that's your sell-through rate. And if you have a high enough sell-through rate, then Amazon says, hey, this is a book that will sell for me if I promote it. And so I think the key to that book's success was having a high enough sell-through rate. And probably the timing of slashing the price to 99 cents was a big part of that. Because at the time, Amazon had just changed their royalty structure. And they said all books priced $2.99 to $9.99 you can have the 70% royalty on that. And previous to that, they were paying authors 35% royalty on their self-published books. And so tons of authors upped their price to $2.99. And I did for 1 month with everybody else, and sales tanked. And so that's why I slashed it to 99 cents. And sales just took off, I think, because of the timing and because that particular book had a pretty good mass appeal. It was titled Not What She Seems, and it was romantic suspense, and I tried to make the blurb as catchy as I could on that one. And then the other book that hit the USA Today bestseller list, that was in January of 2015, that particular one hit the USA Today bestseller list also at 99 cents. That was after a BookBub ad that I had purchased. And those are hard to get, so I had just kept trying, kept submitting every, I think, 60 or 90 days. It'll let you try to get another BookBub ad. And so I just kept trying until they finally said yes. Now, the key to that one is if you get a BookBub ad and your book is free, it doesn't count towards any of the bestseller lists. It has to be priced something. So if you're going to do it that way, try and price it at 99 cents and get the book ad that way. Also, you have to have your book on all the channels. You can't have it just in Amazon Select. And so you want to make sure your book is on all the channels as well. The tips that I wrote down for making the New York Times and the USA Today bestseller list, I'm going to start out by saying there's no surefire way to do this, because if there was, every book would hit the list, and, and they try really hard not to allow any kind of cheat way to do it. You know, people have tried all kinds of things of paying people to buy their books and things like that to get on these bestseller lists, and so especially the New York Times bestseller list, they have a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that they do. They don't exactly just count book sales for all their books they list on there, because they're trying to make it so it's not easy to buy your way in to the bestseller list. So the first tip that I came up with was your book needs mass appeal. And that kind of seems like a well, duh one, but you'd be surprised how many people come up to me and say, you know, I want help getting my book on the New York Times bestseller list. You did it. You know, tell me how you did it. And the first thing I'll ask is, well, what's your book? And they'll say, well, it's a how-to book on raising naked mole rats. And I'll say, well, you know, that you need to have more mass appeal. That's a great idea, but that's a really niche market. And if your book is really niche, it's going to be very difficult to get on these lists, because you want mass appeal for the book. So if you're trying to get on these lists, try and make sure your book has very wide appeal for a wide audience. The second thing that I thought of was and this is kind of a difficult one, books that I've found on the list tend to have high concept. And if you Google high concept defined, I found probably the best definition of that is an article by a guy named Steve Kerr, and it was titled High Concept Defined Once and For All. And basically you want to be able to describe your book in just a few sentences, and it needs to be a concept that catches people's attention and makes them want to buy the book. And so trying to figure out how to make your book blurb into a more high concept book blurb, that's kind of difficult if you didn't start out writing a high concept novel. But you can kind of study that, how to do that, and try and make your book blurb something catchy enough that will make people want to one click it and buy it right away. Another thing you can do is concentrate your sales. Because these lists are picking books and their sales within a 1 week period, you want all your sales to be within that 1 week period. Now, I will say with my book hitting the New York Times bestseller list, it was high up on the Amazon and Barnes & Noble rankings for an entire month. I was selling about 1,000 books a day for an entire month before it hit the New York Times bestseller list. And it was actually on a slight decline when it finally hit the New York Times bestseller list. And so it's not only the high ranking that does it. I think they look at other things, and one of the things is staying power. If your book is way up in the ranks for 1 day or 2 days, it's going to be much more difficult to get on the New York Times bestseller list than if it's way up high for a longer period of time. But it's a little bit easier to get on the USA Today bestseller list. I think they look more at your rankings for one particular week rather than spanning more than 1 week, whereas I think the New York Times bestseller list looks at more than just your ranking that particular week. But if you are trying to get a book on the lists, I would say do as much as you can within a one-week period to get as many sales as you can. And so right now for ebooks, BookBub is king for advertising. So if you can plan your ads around BookBub, I would say that just trying your best to get a BookBub ad, and then once they give you a date, plan other ads around that, because nobody else right now is touching what BookBub can do for an ebook in sales. When I got my BookBub ad for Accidentally Married, it hit, I believe, number 15 on Amazon, and it hit number 1 on Barnes & Noble. And let's see. The next thing I would say is if you have a new book coming out and you think it has a potential to hit a list, if maybe it's the next one in the series and your series has been doing really well and you have a nice following, I would suggest not putting it up for pre-orders, especially on Amazon, because the pre-order sales do not go towards your rank once your book finally goes on sale. So all those pre-orders don't help you out in your ranking. And I believe the New York Times bestseller list doesn't count any pre-order book sales for their list. It's only after the book is for sale.
Stephen. I'm going to correct that. It's true. This is Stephen Barrett, Kohler Publishers. It's true that the pre-orders don't count toward the Amazon ranking. However, they do count on BookScan. When BookScan is giving the sales totals for books in a particular week, the pre-orders count in the week in which they are released. The book is released or the sales are fulfilled.
And is that ebooks or print books?
Well, that's for print. So I'm not certain how it's working on ebooks.
Okay. That's good to know. I'm not sure how it works with ebooks. I was under the impression that they don't count it, but again, they're looking at Amazon's ranking for ebooks, because Amazon doesn't give out their sales numbers to anybody, and so really what they're looking at is just the ranking. And what you want to do.
No, Amazon is giving out their sales numbers to BookScan. Although it's not made public, BookScan, all the BookScan figures that we get have Amazon as part of the numbers.
Oh, good. Good. For ebooks as well, then?
Yes.
Oh, good. Good. Good to know that.
So the question for me about that is whether when you're doing ebooks and you've got pre-orders, do they actually start fulfilling the book, or do they wait to fulfill the book to be on sale date?
They wait to fulfill that until it's on sale.
In that case, then I'm quite sure then that the sales are all being recorded on BookScan when the sales are actually fulfilled, and so it doesn't affect your Amazon ranking, but USA Today and to some degree New York Times and others are looking more at the actual numbers of sales than the Amazon rankings.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Thank you. What I would say is if you want your book to hit a high ranking, don't put it up for pre-order. Try and concentrate all your sales at once. And I've found I get way more sales once it's live than when I try and put it up for pre-order. So for me, it's worked out better to not put it up for pre-order, because it seemed to dilute the ranking when I did it. Put it up for pre-order. Does anybody have any other questions about any of this?
I do. I was just curious, have you just done ebooks? Have you done print also as well? Or is it just, has that been your whole focus has been ebook?
I sell both ebook and print, but I am completely self-published right now. And so I concentrate my sales on ebook sales because I don't have the distribution in print that people would if they, you know, if I had a publisher and could get into bookstores and things like that. So right now I concentrate all my sales on ebooks.
So who do you have publish your books if somebody wants to publish, you know, a hard book?
I go to CreateSpace.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's my question.
Good.
And have you liked just self-publishing rather than going through the agent and publisher process?
I actually have. I had an agent at one point after the first book hit the New York Times bestseller list. And my second book, they got an offer from a publishing house, but it was an ebook-only offer. And the royalty that they were offering me was way lower than what I could make myself. And so I turned down that offer and published it myself. And I've been really happy with my self-published income. So I really haven't sought out publishers after that because I'm just bringing in an income level that to me is really happy and makes me very happy. And so I'm also kind of a control freak. I like to know you know, my sales numbers every day, and I like to know what I'm doing that is spiking those and what I'm doing that's making it slide off, and I like to be able to publish things as soon as they're ready, you know. So I kind of really like the self-publishing thing. But if a publishing house came to me and wanted to publish one of my books, you know, I wouldn't be against that. They would just have to probably offer me more money than they'd want to right now.
Well, and do you mind if I just add? I mean, so, you know, so what are you talking in terms of, I know, it's always about money, right? I mean, what are you talking in terms of what you feel, you know, for one book, what have you made with one of your best-selling books?
Well, the last book I did a BookBub ad with, I made it free for one day. And then it went back to regular price, and I made $25,000 off of that one BookBub ad. And that didn't even hit any of the lists. So that makes me really happy.
Yeah,
so,
nice.
Yeah. If I can do that within – it was probably 6 weeks after the ad came out that I made $25,000. Then if a publishing house is going to come and ask for the rights to a book, it's going to have to be – you know, quite a bit more than that.
Okay. This is Susie. I would be interested, and you are probably planning on talking about this as well, but just do you have an email list? Do you send out a newsletter? How are you speaking with readers, that kind of thing?
That's a great question. I do have an email list, and I've found the best way to get people to sign up for it is to give a free book when they sign up. So right now on my website, it's victorinelisky.com. I tell everybody if you sign up, I'll give you a free ebook copy of Not What She Seems, which was my first book that hit the list. Yeah. And I just basically give that away because for one thing, I know people are interested in my writing if they're signing up for the list. If they sign up for something that's not my writing, then I'm just getting names that, you know, are interested in my books. So that's why I give away one of my books as a sign-up incentive. And another thing that I do is I only will send out an email when a new book comes out. Probably I do that because of my own personal preference. I get so many emails a day, and I'm just swamped with stuff that I get to where I just delete. And I don't want a lot of emails from authors, but I like to know when authors are putting out books that I like. And so if I were a customer, I would want an email only when a new book came out. So that's what I did. And I found that works quite well. And it helps propel my new books into the high rankings because then I just send out an email to all the people who are interested, and I find I get a really good response with that. Any other questions?
You know, other than the you know, BookBub and then this the new, you know, your email list, is there anything else that you've done for advertising of your books?
That's a really good question. I do like eReader News Today, although they don't have nearly the power that BookBub has. Periodically, I'll put something on sale, or I'll make it free for a day, and just buy up little ads from you know, some of these other companies. I also like to really stay in touch with other self-published authors, and so I'm a part of a couple of groups of authors only that just chat about what they're doing to get their books out there. And so I found that very informational, because things kind of go up and down and change quite often. And so what worked really well 1 week might not work, you know, 2 months later. So I like to really be in the know of what's working for everybody else.
No, that's great. Are they regular? Are they just people that you've known, or is it a set group? You know what I'm saying? Is it a set organization that you're involved with? You know, when you talk about the authors only, is it, or is it just, oh, I just met this person and met this person at a conference? And
I joined different groups. I was a part of KindleBoards.com for a long time. They think they switched their name to KBoards.com. They are a forum for people who have Kindles, and there's a section in there for authors. And so I was a part of that for a long, long time. And they have tons of authors in there who do lots of research and share their findings on all kinds of things. And so I found that very informational. I kind of got out of using that group for a while because a lot of erotica authors started getting on there, and that's really not my genre at all. And so I found a Facebook group called Clean Indie Reads.
Oh, good.
It's CIR for short. And that's just full it's run by an LDS author, and it's full of authors, LDS and non-LDS, who write clean books and who share information about what's working for them and what isn't working for them and things like that. I think the one thing that I see the most when people are having trouble selling their books is their book doesn't align itself well. The cover and the blurb and what the book is about all need to be in alignment. And sometimes I see people with books that either their cover looks like one genre, but the book is actually a different genre, or they don't even know what genre they're writing in. It's kind of funny, but it actually happens more often than not. And so it's really important to make sure that you're cover and your genre and your blurb all align and are all pointing towards the same thing, so that people know what they're buying. Any other questions?
Somewhat on that topic, have you done your own cover design, or have you had somebody do that for you? The same thing with the laying out the inside of the book. Have you typed it yourself, or have you had somebody else do that for you? Just all the different parts of that.
Yes. I actually went to school for graphic design, so I'm really lucky. I get to design my own covers and do all that, and that's been pretty successful for me. I do design covers for other people, just kind of on a limited basis when people come to me. Get the insides of my books formatted for me, because I actually have this love-hate relationship with Word, and I can't make it do exactly what I want it to do with formatting-wise, and so I pay somebody else to do my formatting, because I'd rather not pull out all my hair before it's gray. As far as that goes, I do get help with blurb writing, because I feel like we're really close to our own books, and so it's hard to write a really good blurb by ourselves. So I get other authors who write in my genre to help me fine-tune that. But again, I try to make it high concept so that people can really want to read the book when they read that blurb.
You mentioned Clean Indie Reads. That's CLEANINDIEREADS. Is that right?
Let me make sure that's the name of it. Yep, that's the name of it. So if you do a Facebook search for Clean Indie Reads, you'll find it.
And what I'm wondering about is what other groups are there that would be more LDS compatible instead of erotica or other things?
Yes, yes. There is an LDS beta readers group I'm involved in.
Could you repeat that?
LDS beta readers. And
beta, B-E-T-A.
Yeah, B-E-T-A. And that's where I find some other LDS authors to read through my manuscript and tell me what's working and what isn't working and things like that. And that's it.
Is that also on Facebook, too?
Yes, that's also on Facebook. And a couple of other LDS authors, and I just started up a group for readers and authors called LDS Fiction Readers and Authors. And it's just brand new. We just started it this week, and we're just trying to build a community of people who like to read clean books and people who write clean books and just sharing the love of reading with each other.
How many people do you have as beta readers per book?
I usually try to get at least 6 and probably no more than 10. So somewhere between 6 and 10 is what I use. And I try to get people who know the romance genre because I write romance. And I found that that's way more helpful to get people who write also in the romance genre. Any other questions?
Dr. Amanda.
I think this is very helpful. So you said that you help sometimes with cover design. I love your covers. I think your covers are adorable. They're so well done. Do you have any other people that also do cover design that do design too that you know of?
In the Clean Indie Reads book, there are several other cover designers in there. And I would say if you're looking for a cover designer, if you just kind of post in a group like that with a bunch of authors and say, hey, who do you use for your cover design, you'll get tons of responses from, lots of people. Also, if you go over to kboards.com, they have a specific place that lists all of their cover designers and their websites and things like that, and that's actually really helpful too. They also list editors and formatters and just about anybody you would want to hire out in self-publishing.
Have you tried doing Audible too?
Go ahead, you finish yours.
I was going to say, have you tried to do Audible? Are yours also Audible books, or is it just the ebook?
Yeah.
Have you done Audible
yet? Yes, I do Audible. I use acx.com to get my books on Audible, and I've really had great luck finding great narrators. And I sell probably on one book, I sell about one audiobook a day. On the others, I'd say probably 2 to 3 a day. So they've been really successful for me.
That's wonderful. Thank you. This has been wonderful to get these tips from you. You're mentioning about blurb writing. Might you give us a few names of people you might suggest, or would they just be inundated?
I just use, like, my beta readers, and I
hesitate
to give out names because, you know, I don't know. They haven't given me the okay to give out their names. But I would just say other authors that you trust, that you like their work and you know they do a good job, I would have them, you know, just question them and say, hey, do you mind looking at my blurb? You know, what suggestions would you give me?
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Another question. How many revisions of a book do you go through in general? So, you know, before you're ready to send to the beta readers, and are you having, doing some, you're just having other authors read through parts of your book as you're writing it? I'm just interested in the whole writing process before it's ready for beta readers.
Sure, sure. I tend to take a longer time on my manuscript, and then when it's done, it's very refined. I edit as I go, which some people, it drives them batty to do that. But for me, when I sit down to start writing, I read over what I wrote last time and kind of edit that and make things sound good in my head. Another thing I do is I like to send out chapters to beta readers as I get them done because I am more of a discovery writer and I take my novel in places kind of as I go, and if someone says, you know, this particular scene isn't working for me, I don't like, you know, the attitude your character is taking on, then the rest of the book would have that attitude if I didn't change it right there. So that's why I like to get feedback as I go, because I don't have everything all planned out. But yeah, once I get a draft done, I would say I send it out to my beta readers at that point, and then when the suggestions come back in, I take about a month to edit it, and then I'll send it to my editor for final copy editing, and then I'll go ahead and publish it. But, yeah, I take a little bit longer to write the thing because I kind of edit as I go.
It sounds like a good approach.
It works
for me. How long does it take you to write a book, usually?
It's really been varied. The last book I published, it took a year because we moved in the process of writing it, and so that was a big, long ordeal because we also have a rubber stamp business in our basement, and that was kind of a nightmare. But I would say I could probably get a book done in 4 to 6 months if I wasn't moving in the middle of it.
Victorine, who do you use to convert your ebook files into your book files into ebook files?
I use a guy named Craig Hansen, and you can find him. He and I kind of paired up together. I do cover design, and he does the formatting. And our website is BlueValleyAuthorServices.com. I know it's kind of long, but it's all smushed together. BlueValleyAuthorServices.com. And so I use him for my formatting, and he just does an excellent job. I just love how professional they look.
Terrific. Thank you.
Yes. Any other questions or things you want to know about?
Victorine, you make this sound so easy. I mean, on the on the one hand, I mean, you kind of either you've got things so well figured out and you're just so on top of things, and you kind of got it down to a science and you've had a lot of success I'm just wondering where you've struggled and how you've dealt with that.
Good question. I did have one book I put out that didn't sell well, and I think it's because I switched genres. I put it out. It's my little science fiction novel. It's got a romance in it, but it's mostly science fiction with a romance, not a romance based in science fiction world. And so that one really struggled for me. And what I learned from that is in order to be successful in a genre, you really have to love that genre and read a lot of that genre. And I like watching Star Trek and science fiction TV shows and movies, but I don't read a lot of science fiction. And so I took away from that that I really need to read a lot in the genre that I'm going to publish and be successful in. And I really had to stop and think, what books do I really love to read? And that's where I came up with, okay, my favorite books of all time are probably these romantic comedies that are light and funny, and they make me laugh, and I can read them in one sitting, and they're just not a lot of heavy stuff in them. And so that's why I started writing the Married series that I have, and those have just taken off for me. And I try to come up with my blurb first before I write the book, because that's the whole, you know, high concept idea. And I'm trying to find something that I would be interested in reading. And that's kind of how I write, is, oh, this interests me, so let me explore this. And I kind of write as I go and explore things as I go. And so that, for me, is what really worked. I also found that trying to push a book that is not selling well is kind of counterproductive. And I found it out because I bought a kind of expensive ad to advertise this science fiction book because it just wasn't selling and wasn't selling for me. And so I wrote up this huge blurb about the book. I had a really big full color image of the cover, and the people that I bought the ad from said, well, at the very end, we can tag on another book as well if you want. And so I tagged on my New York Times best-selling book at the very bottom, just really tiny, not even a blurb, just the cover. And the day that ad came out, I sold 7 copies of my science fiction book and something like 300 of my New York Times best-selling book. And I went, okay, I'm trying to push this book, and it is not selling. And the one that is selling really well, you know, all it took was just a teeny tiny little image at the bottom, and it just sold a bunch of books. So it just made me think that, okay, what I need to do is focus on what is working and not try and push what isn't working for me. And so that's why if you read my science fiction book, you'll be mad because I don't have a second one out yet. Although I have promised that I will finish it up probably by next year because I have people wanting the next one. But it's just not a bestseller for me, and so I'm being a bad author and focusing on what is selling well.
And so you call your genre romantic comedies? Is that the genre?
Yeah.
Here's the question. What do we do if it's our first book and we don't have any sort of track record to base things off of?
I would say the most important thing, if it's your first book, is to get a second book out as soon as you can. The most success that I've seen with indie authors is authors writing in a series or books that are related to each other closely. Like my Married series, it's not actually the same characters in each book. It's just related by theme. People really like that marriage by convenience type of theme. And so I've kind of tied them all together with that same theme. And that really, really helps sales. And so if it's your first book, and I would say it's probably not even worth buying a bunch of ads for a first book until you have a second or even a third one out. I know that's kind of depressing if you're a slow writer, because for me that was really a challenge when I first started writing. It took me 4 years to publish my first book, and everybody said, well, don't really advertise it until you have another one out. And I thought, oh, it's going to take me another 4 years. So I went against the grain and actually did advertise that one. And it ended up working out for me, but I think that is goes against the norm. Most people find success when they have more than one book out.
Well, I'd like to ask you a question about your changing of genres. I've talked to some other authors that have said that if they change a genre, oftentimes they'll change their name just so that readers don't get confused. You know, if they want to, if they're writing romantic comedy, but then they want to change to a science fiction, you know, kind of genre, that they'll actually take on a, you know, another pseudonym so that their readers don't get confused. You know, that do you think that that's helpful, or do you think that that is not helpful?
I think if you have a pretty good following, that's such a hard question, because I found that people do read my science fiction book and they find it through my other ones. And I don't know how many people would find it if it was, if it had its own name and was just sitting out there by itself. However, I do think it's important to brand yourself, and if you're going to write in a different genre, I do think it's a good idea to brand that one. I would say if you're going to be writing a series or several, I would say it's probably a better idea to brand it with its own name is what I would say. But, again, people find me through my other books with that one science fiction novel. So I've seen people do it both ways. Okay. That was really a non-answer, wasn't it?
It's okay.
Do you, besides BookBub, what other channels do you use for advertising?
I actually try really hard not to advertise unless I'm discounting a book, because I find it's not very helpful to advertise a full-price book, especially when you're competing, you know, on Amazon with 101 million other books of the same genre. So my philosophy is to kind of go from BookBub ad to BookBub ad and let it sit at regular price if it's not being pushed heavily by a big promoter. So I try not to do a ton of little sales because they don't really give me the momentum that a BookBub ad does. And so that's kind of been my philosophy, is keep it as long as I can at regular price and then do another really big push and then ride on the coattails of that push. And it's really hard to find people who will advertise a book that is not heavily discounted as well. So I think my best advertisement probably when it's not on sale is just getting another book out. That helps me probably more than any other ad that I can buy.
Mm-hmm. And so how much are you selling your book normal, and then are you, when you discount it, do you discount it to 99 cents?
I have all my books at $3.99 right now. And for a while, I was selling them all at $2.99. They're kind of shortish books. 50,000 words is usually what I have for my novels. And so I was keeping them at $2.99 for a long time. But a lot of authors, and this is another plug for getting in a community with a lot of other indie authors, is a lot of authors were telling me that they raised their price to $3.99 and didn't see any decline in sales. And so I tried it and raised some books to $3.99, and like them, I didn't see any decline in sales, and so I've been keeping them at $3.99 for regular price, and then when I discount, I'll either do 99 cents or I'll do it free, but for a limited time.
And so how long do you usually have that discount?
I try to do it one day. That tends to work better for me than doing a several-day spread. I've done it in the past where I do several days, but especially if you're buying an ad from BookBub or someone with a lot of power like that, you'll see a huge spike in sales the first day, And then the second day, it'll completely drop off. And there's really, you know, no point in keeping it on sale for several days unless you're going to keep up with that momentum. And so I found for me it works best to do it just one day.
For your audiobooks, how much do you sell those for?
I used ACX to produce them, and that's where I hired somebody through the ACX system to produce it. And I've found that if I pay for the audiobook itself to be produced, that I make a lot more money after it's produced. And you can go in and do a royalty share and not have to pay anything for the book to be produced, but then you split the royalties with the voice actress or whatever. And so and since I used ACX, I can't choose my price. They price whatever they want for the audiobook. And so I have one audiobook. I think it's sitting at $1.99, and that's one that doesn't sell very well, and that's one that I split the royalty on. But I think they price higher if you go ahead and pay outright for that book to be produced. And so I see way better sales, and it's at a higher price for the audiobooks that I paid outright for.
Do people usually buy the $1.99? I mean, so you're saying that the ones that are even higher price are actually selling better?
Yeah,
the $1.99
they do sell better than the $1.99 one. And I'm not exactly sure why. It might be genre. It might be because the e-books right now for the Marian series are selling way better than my first book I put out, which was The Romantic Suspense. And so it's quite possible that the e-book sales are actually driving the audiobook sales, because I see a nice correlation with ebook sales to audiobook sales. And so that's probably what is going on.
Do you publish the audiobook at the same time that you're releasing your ebook, or do you do them, you know, the ebook first and then the audiobook after that?
Good question. I put my ebooks out as soon as they're edited and ready to go out, because I want to start up with those sales. And so I produce the audiobook as soon as I can, but hiring the voice actor and getting that produced takes several months, and I don't want to wait for my audiobook to be coming out while that's being produced. And so my ebooks always come out, and then about 6 months later, my audiobooks come out.
And you just announce that, sending an email to your email list, or do you, when you release something new, where do you announce that?
Yep, it's through my ebook list, and it's just a sign up on my website. And I use MailChimp for that. I don't have enough signups right now to pay in for that, but I've found that using MailChimp is way easier than trying to do it myself. Or any other programs that I've researched. I really like MailChimp. So when my list gets big enough that I'll have to start to pay, I don't think I will complain too much, because I really like MailChimp. To think if there's anything else I wanted to say.
Anybody have any other questions that we have about yet?
How many people do you send mail out to, do you have right now in your email list?
Oh, right now, let's see. The last time I emailed, it was over 600. I think I've gotten some more since then. Let me check real quick. It might be over 700 now.
And MailChimp makes you pay at what time? Is it 1,000 or something that you had to pay for?
I think it's even more than that. I think it's over 2,000.
Okay. And people are joining your mailing list mainly by just word of mouth, right?
It's word of mouth, and at the end of every book, I put in, to get a free book, join my mailing list, and I list my website where they can go sign up. So I try and end each book with, hey, if you liked this, come join. And that actually works really well if you're doing a BookBub ad where your book is free. You may feel like, I'm giving away, thousands of books and not getting anything back from it. But I usually get, several hundred subscribers after doing that. And that's just pure gold because, looking at it right now, I have 660 subscribers and a 48.9% open rate and a 27% click rate on my email that go out.
Good.
So that's a really good return for the subscribers that I have.
And how the BookBub ads, how do those work and how the pricing on that go?
They are pricey. The last one I bought, I'm thinking it was over $400. So they are pricey, and you have to apply. What you do is you go to bookbub.com, and you have to create an account and add your books in the account and apply for an ad, and they take indie authors and publishers. So I know I see advertisements all the time from publishing houses that buy up ads as well for their books. But you have to apply, and then they'll send you either a yes, here's when it's going to be, or a rejection. And you can say, I want this date, or you can say, I'm flexible, pick a date that works for you. They get, tons of applications, and so it's kind of difficult to get in. But I just keep applying. And, of course, the more appeal your book has to the mass, the more likely you are to get in. And you can also, BookBub releases information about the books that they are putting out. And they release information about what's successful and things you can do to make your book more appealing to them as an advertiser, because they're very research-oriented, and they try to put out announcements on books that their customers really want. And that changes over time. So if you get rejected one week, don't feel like, they don't want my book. You can reapply, and because the trends change over time. And so maybe the next...
Does the application cost money?
No, it doesn't cost anything to apply, only if you get accepted. And they're really good at telling you how many people they have on their mailing lists, too, because they mail out by genre. And so the mystery genre is the most popular one. I think they have over 2 million subscribers to that. Let's see if I can find that really quick here.
If you could find out for Clean Romance how many that they have. You may know that by heart.
I think it's just contemporary romance for – sorry. Let me try and find that advertising page. Here we go. If you Google BookBub advertising, it'll come up with the page that tells you. Okay, now crime fiction is their top one with 3,640,000 subscribers. I'm in contemporary romance that has 2,290,000 subscribers. So, and the price depends on what you're going to put your book at. So if I wanted to have a 99-cent book in the contemporary romance genre, they're going to charge me $730. To put that in their ad. If I'm going to put it free, it's $365. So it's cheaper if you do a free book. For return on investment, I found it, I made about the same with a 99-cent book as I did with a free book. But I made the USA Today bestseller list with the 99-cent book, and you can't, if you're in Select, and that's how I did it when my book was free. I was in Select, and so I was only on Amazon. And so since the monetary return was the same, I guess it depends on your goals at that point, if you want to save a few dollars and make your book free, or if you want to try and get on the lists. And
so remind me how you make money if you have a free book.
I made it free for just one day. And when you make it free on Amazon and BookBub promotes it, you give away thousands of books. I think I gave away about 50,000 copies of Accidentally Married. And that made it get on tons of also bought lists all over Amazon. And so anytime someone clicked on a book, they were like, oh, look at this awesome book people also bought. If they, you know, so any kind of contemporary romance book also was advertising my book as well. And so when I went back to paid, I got in the top 100 on Amazon. I'm not sure how high it got, but I sold enough with that particular ad the first time it was free. I think I made over $10,000 just off the next 60 days in sales, because it just got so much visibility on Amazon.
And what were the stats for your 99-cent book, if you can recall?
That was $10,000 as well over the next 60 days as well. So they was about the same. The price of the ad, I believe it was, at the time it was less than $700. I think it was about $650. Mm-hmm. And I made $650 back within an hour of the ad coming out. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a big swallow to look at the numbers and say, ah, I'm spending that much on an ad. But with BookBub, I've only heard of a couple authors who didn't make back their money. And they were books that didn't have as big of a mass appeal. And really, BookBub pretty much rejects any book that wouldn't do well with them, because they know their audience so well. So it's really difficult to buy a BookBub ad and not make your money back on it.
So they don't have a clean romance category. It's just contemporary romance?
No. I just use the contemporary romance category. And, yeah, you'll be probably in with a bunch of other novels that aren't clean. But as long as your book cover, you know, is really – indicative to your genre, I found that clean romance does just as well as the other spicy romances, you know, because I make it really clear that mine is a clean romance, because the covers, you know, don't have naked guys on them and stuff.
Well, I think we need to close now, because we've reached the top of the hour. Victorine, thank you so much for all this wonderful information. I think it's really valuable, and it was great just to share everything that has worked so well for you. So thank you again, and thank you everybody who joined the call today and contributed, and we will get together next month for our next roundtable. So
thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Victorine.
Thanks.
That was great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.